Thank you everyone for coming today. I'm going to talk some of the research I did for my PhD, which I just defended last week. So my study is about the steroid hormone runoff from biosolid amend soil. First of all, I would like to thank the co-author of this study, my advisor, Dr. Thomas Bock at Colorado State University, who cannot be here today, and James Gray, Ed Flom, Tracy Yeager, William Foreman from USGS Water Quality Lab in Denver, and Dr. Jessica Davis at Colorado State University. I would like to start with some background information. In the United States, it is estimated wastewater treatment plant produced 240 kilogram dry weight of solid per million liter of wastewater treat, of which 60% of biosolids are land applied. Surprisingly, no detailed hormone runoff study have been conducted with biosolid amend soil under field conditions. So the specific objective of this study are to determine hormone runoff from and biosolid amend agricultural field in East Colorado by using the rainfall simulator and to elucidate the major hormone transport mechanism. As you can see, the picture shows here, we went to the field where biosolid had not been applied before, and we set up a rainfall simulator, an experimental plot about 6 meters square. The rainfall simulator was placed about 11 feet high, and the water came from the nozzle. The runoff sample were collected from the metro trap. This shows the field design. The three experimental plots were established parallel to the slope about 3%. And the lowest precision plot 1 had the lowest percentage of sand. The rainfall simulator simulated a 25-year rainfall event, and biosolidification rate was 3.5 dry metric tons per hectare. The runoff and sediment loss rate were measured, and we collected the runoff sample on Friday before biosolidification, 1, 8, and 35 days after biosolidification. We determine hormone concentration in biosolids by using pressurized solvent extraction and whole water runoff sample by solid phase extraction. The hormone were analyzed by gas chromatography tandem mass spectrometry. An accurate solid separation of the runoff sample was also conducted in order to investigate the major hormone transport mechanism. For this study, the soft phase hormones are operationally defined as the fashion of hormone in water that pass through a standard 0.7 micrometer glass vapor filter. Likewise, the particle bound hormones are defined as the fashion of hormones that are remained in the same filter. 19 compounds, including the natural and synthetic hormone, were included in this method. Out of these 19 compounds, we have compounds that represented androgens and the most common observed testosterone degradation product. We also have a compounds that represented androgens, estrogens, and the most common observed estradiol degradation product. Besides androgens and estrogen, we also have progesterone and corpostenol and cholesterol. So this shows the hormone, the concentration of hormone in biosolid sample. The x-axis represents the different hormone compound, and the y-axis represents the hormone concentration in the biosolids. 9 hormones were detected in the biosolid sample, represented a wide range of concentration. And among these 9 hormones, cisandrosterone was found in the highest concentration in bile solids, followed by progesterone and androstenediol. These three compounds were at least two times higher than other hormones. As you can see here, estrogen's concentration were observed to be low in the bile solids. And other chemical compounds, colprostenol and colostrum, were also detected in a higher concentration in bile solids. Now I'm going to show you the first result of the run-of study. We collect the run-of sample before bile solid application in order to see if there is hormone in the soil. And the result found 5 days before bile solid application shows only a few hormones, that is estrogen and androstenediol, were observed at a lower concentration in run-of sample before bile solid application. However, based on the calculation of mass flux of hormone from 1 day after bile solid application, 10 compounds including multiple androgens, multiple estrogens, and progesterone were observed in the run-of sample from the lowest precision plot 1. And the x-axis represents the early, mid, and late time at which we collect the run-of sample during the simulation event. The bars represented the mass flux of hormones using the primary y-axis, and that is how much individual hormone has been run off per minute. The dots represent the run-off rate using the secondary y-axis. As the function of time, the run-off rate kind of reached the statistic state about like 1 liter per minute, and when we look at the mass flow of hormone, we observe the earlier indicate the lowest mass flow of hormone, and we also observed increasing of the mass flow of hormone with increasing the run-off rate, resulting the highest mass flow of hormone toward the end of a simulation event. So these results suggest that intense rainfall can promote run-off hormone from biosolid amid soil. And this shows the hormone mass flow from the 8 days after biosolidification. 7 compounds were observed in the run-off sample from the lowest precision plot 1 after 8 days biosolidification. As you can see here, the highest mass flow of hormone was close to the highest run-off rate, and the run-off rate was much higher than 1 day after bile solidification, which is likely due to the water saturation. Same as the day 35 after bile solidification, and we also observed the same trend from other experimental plot 2 and 3. Although the mass flow of hormone observed after 35 days bile solidification were lower than before, the hormone has still run off after more than 1 month bile solidification. So this result suggests that bile solid can be an important source of a hormone to the surface water. As I said before, we collect the sample on the different days. So now I'm going to show you the data just a little bit different. This is the average hormone run-off concentration from the early, mid, and late time on day 1 and 8, 35 days after biosolidification. And the x-axis represents the different hormone compound. The y-axis represents the average concentration of hormone. Here we compare the average hormone concentration observed in the run-off sample from plot 2 on day 1, the yellow bar, and day 8 and day 35. As you can see here, in general, androgens such as cisandrosterone and androstenediol concentration were decreased as the function of time. However, for the progesterone, the concentration were dramatically decreased at day 8 and increased at day 35. So this result clearly show that the hormone can be observed in a round sample after 35 days after biosolidification. For other androgens and estrogens compound, AP testosterone behavior similar to the progesterone, but in general, androgens concentration decreased as a function of time. However, for the estrogen, the concentration increased from day 1 to day 8 and decreased from day 8 to day 35. The extent to which different types of hormone runoff is most likely associated with the difference in their physicochemical property. However, the mechanism responsible for the observation difference in hormone pattern was beyond the scope of this study, but the possible explanation could be due to the biotransformation or the difference in the social behavior. In order to investigate the major hormone transport mechanism, the concentration between the particle, a suspension particle, and the aqueous phase were compared. And the x-axis represent the different hormone compound. The y-axis represent the hormone concentration in aqueous phase and the particle phase. Colporstanol and cholesterol are very hydrophobic compounds, and the result shows these two compounds partition strongly to the particle phase, likely due to their hydrophobic property. However, for the androgen and estrogen, progesterone primarily remained in the aqueous phase, and like I said before, we separate the suspension particle phase and the liquid phase by using the standard 0.7 micrometer glass vapor filter. So it is likely that the aqueous phase contains particle or colloids less than 0.7 micrometer contained sub hormone. So this finding suggests that the colloid may play an important environmental behavior of hormone. So based on this observation, several conclusions can be made. The hormone in the biosolid do have the potential for the runoff after land application. Intense rainfall promote the runoff with the higher hormone mass flux. And the hormones are primarily transported by water or particle smaller than 0.7 micrometer. Hormone can be observed in the runoff of more than 35 days after biosolidification. And androstenedione and progesterone observed in a higher concentration in both biosolids and the runoff. I would like to thank all the members of a book group and AD Alien at the CSU for her help to run the rainbow simulator, and the Cassie Duskin, Dr. Dana Coben from the USGS, and Rihanna Raphael, and the Mr. Don Lingo to lead us to do our research in his farm. And this project was supported by Colorado Water Institute Secrets Group. As I mentioned before, I'm just defense last week, and I'm looking for a position, so I would like to take a question either now or later. And thank you for your great attention.
We have plenty of time for questions.
Yes.
Did you follow up the mass balance of the hormone in the system? You know how much you have applied, you know how much is present in the runoff. Did you check how much is left in soil and in what form in the soil?
I didn't do that, but we have recently we rerun the biosolid samples. If you remember, they kind of like some variability between the rubber case sample, and I think it's very common to observe in the biosolid. So I think after we done like run the more biosolid sample, we probably can look at like the mass balance. Yeah. Yes.
Did you mix the biosolids with the soil, or they were just on the surface?
Well, according to the farmer, he says it's probably like incorporated into the soil about like 6 inches, but it's really hard to see. It's pretty much just on the surface, based on what we see. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I was looking for some error bars in your graphs.
Uh-huh.
I was curious about the reproducibility of your replicates versus the trend. Is it really because of it decreasing, or is it because of the, I mean, how variable are your measurements? I guess you could show some of your
Error bars?
Yeah, error bars in your measurements. Because from our experience, the analysis of these samples are very variable.
I don't think.
So when you look at the trend, for example, one of your 1 day, 8 days, 35 days. Yeah, so, I mean, how really.
Oh, you mean compare with the three.
From the variability of your replicates.
Well, actually, we did that. Is that what you were looking for? Like,
yeah,
compare.
So I'm looking for error bars, like variability of between measurements and your replicates.
The reason we didn't put the error bar because we saw it's really different experimental part plot, and it's kind of like unfair to put the error bar because the, you know, yeah, it's really high. Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering if this trend is due to the variability in measurements, or is it really because it's decreasing? That's very important, I think.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Another question. Did you find any correlation between the concentration that you are, the hormones that you are finding in the runoff, and the concentration of the dissolved organic matter?
We didn't measure. So one of your questions asked about the correlation between the runoff, the hormone runoff mass
concentration of the hormones.
Okay.
And concentration of the dissolved organic matter.
No, we. We didn't measure the, you say the organic carbon, right? The dissolved organic carbon?
Dissolved organic carbon, dissolved organic matter?
No.
I did the presentation yesterday, and I measured the dissolved organic concentration and the hormone concentration, basically estradiol, estrone, and a conjugate form, sulfate. In the my number of sample size was less, but I found significant correlation between them. However, the interesting thing is, I also tried to do with the aromatic fraction, but the correlation was not increasing in that way.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering, how did you choose that you need to do the study for 35 days? Was it just random selection?
It's just yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like.
Do you have any ideas if there would be a change in trend if you go longer than that? I mean, I'm actually thinking about what she was referring to, that if there's no difference between day one and day eight, I think, due to the variability,
uh-huh.
Then you cannot really say that there's a trend of increase or decrease.
Right.
So do you have any ideas what will happen after 35 days?
So you mean that, like, if we do more than 35 days, I see probably, I'm not sure if we can observe the carbon, but I think that it's kind of, based on this result, it shows kind of like a decrease during each day, yeah.
Well, once again, I did the observation for the 90 days and I found concentration even higher. I mean, I think rainfall intensity or the rainfall amount is the other, and the runoff amount, they are the key factor which is washing out the hormones at the end. Because I found like very high concentration, even like, I mean, after 97 days, if I remember correctly.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Thank you so much.
We still have about 7 minutes.